Hi, Heidi. So on video making, I can explain all the various options. The way I do it, if I'm making a video in which I'm not showing myself, meaning there's no camera filming me, and so what I'm essentially doing is putting together a collage of some kind, like some of the many you've seen, I'm sure, or some of the ones you've seen where I'm showing charts and moving planets and perhaps press images of politicians, whatever it is that I want to use to illustrate the story. In those cases, what I'm doing is I'm reading it into the microphone, almost always through a script that I create. I write it out so that it's workable. It doesn't have to be perfect, because as long as it's close to what I want to say, I might slightly change something in the story as I read it, or perhaps I might take something out on the fly or add something or whatever. But I did find that scripting the videos can make for a much tighter presentation, because in a sense you tell the story, it's going to be tighter, and yet there is room for a kind of, you could call it acting, or you could call it stressing certain points in a certain way with tonality, etc. This is in contrast to just, you know, ad-libbing and saying it from the top of my head, which is what tends to happen when I do the ones where I film myself. In those cases, if I describe a chart, I look at it and memorize what I'm going to say, and I'm pretty good at that. I've done astrology so many years that I can mentally visualize the different components, and then I'll work it into what I say. And of course, in those cases, I might have to do a few takes if I don't like the way it came out. Not many takes, but it could take two or three, or I might get it on the first one. If I'm not filming myself and everything is being created in a collage, then in that case, there's a lot more freedom to play with it, perhaps reread certain sections into it, and do all kinds of editing, because that's what Camtasia allows. It's you have to think of it almost like this big panel where you can go in and cut things out, add things, and splicing it all together in whatever order, including a lot of those effects that you see. There are things you tell the program to do, such as, for example, to cause a planet to appear in a certain spot, or draw a line in a certain way, or have a picture appear or then disappear, whatever. It has all these neat tricks that you can do with it. And of course, like I said, it's a learning curve, because at first you're looking at this thing, it looks like the cockpit of an airplane with all kinds of instruments, and you need some guidance. The Camtasia does have good tutorials. The other cool thing is that because it's a fairly popular program, there are YouTube videos that can explain things. I believe I even have some tutorial videos I can connect you to that I have on my computer, if you decide to go that route, because Camtasia is pretty expensive. It's around $300 or somewhere in that range. It is a good product, though, and I have to say that probably it's responsible for my YouTube channel in large measure, because I was doing videos prior to that using programs that let you capture the screen. So I would capture charts mostly and say things. But it was when I found Camtasia and I became more involved in a sense, in being a kind of like a movie producer, because you see all that goes into it, the editing, the getting different things to add. In other words, there's a sense that you're creating a story and producing an effect that is very deliberate to make a point, right? And so it made me a lot more interested in the craftsmanship than I was prior to that. And then simultaneously, I discovered the power of of scripting the message, you know, writing the story out. And so most of my videos are that way. And this was something I discovered in around the middle of 2020. And I noticed it took me 2 or 3 months to get quite good at it. But of course, I was doing videos nearly every day. And so there it depends on your familiarity with computers and that kind of thing. But if you do end up going this route, do let me know, because I definitely have more tips that would save you a lot of time and make it smoother. Right? It all depends on what you want to do in the longer term. But of course, that's something that you discover often, I think, through engaging, because even though I'm saying all these things about it now, I could also summarize it by saying that I just jumped in and did videos and then slowly refined my approach and found my voice and found my way to do it through taking action around it. Right? If you're doing videos where you film yourself, then it's a matter of getting a decent camera. Logitech makes good cameras. There are others at Amazon. You can see reviews and so forth. Mine has been good, though I suspect, in fact, I know there are better ones than mine now, because mine is a few years old and it only does 720 resolution comfortably. And these days, most cameras do 1080 at more frames per second than I'm producing. So it's always better to get as much resolution as possible, because these are videos that could be around for years and years, and the resolution keeps increasing. So it's always good to do as much as possible now so that it'll last longer into the future. And when it comes to filming yourself, in a certain sense, you can just film and then put the video up. And this is, I used to do this years ago and often got it on the first take, or if not, on the second or third take. But basically there, you're getting whatever you get. And the advantage of Camtasia is that you can film yourself and then throw that video inside Camtasia and do things like transitions, you know, something flashy at the start or at the end, or you can cut something out. And sometimes you can make edits to that too. It's a little more tricky though, because editing something where you're filming yourself, the best way that I can think of is that you might cut out a piece where the person watching will see that there was a shift in scenes, but it won't throw them off too much. But if you start playing around with the audio, it gets complicated, because then you have to match it to the video and so forth. But then the whole point to that would be that you likely wouldn't be doing a lot of that kind of editing anyway. You would just probably have to redo the take. Now, of course, all this can sound really complicated, and then it feels overwhelming. So something else I could say is that if I were saying, well, what is the best step to take? I would say the best step is to get the YouTube channel going, because nothing says you have to go public. In fact, it's a very bad idea. You don't do anything public for a while. You take advantage of their settings allowing you to make the videos unlisted. The private listing or private setting is more complicated. I don't recommend that. I think it's for where you want to have specific people watching. Unlisted means that only you see it, or if you give the link to someone, they can see it, anyone. And then that link could be passed around and seen by many people. So you have to keep that in mind. But as long as you have it as unlisted, it's just your private channel. And the idea would be to just get any video up there. As soon as you get some equipment, you don't worry about quality, because that's not the point. The point is to get it up there and see what it looks like and get very familiar with the upload process and, you know, the basic mechanics of the channel, because this means as your proficiency catches up and you start to produce public videos, you'll already be very familiar with the way YouTube works, and there'll be a lot less surprises, right? Then maybe the next step would be, if you think you want to begin to produce videos where you're doing, you know, edits and that kind of thing, then you look at things like Camtasia. TechSmith produces Camtasia, and they have this other one called Snagit that I've also used. It's much smaller, also way cheaper, but of course it doesn't give you the same capabilities. You can film the screen, you know, grab the screen in a computer and make a video out of it, just with less bells and whistles. But I believe, in fact, I'm remembering now, when I bought Camtasia, I paid a little more, and I got them both in the package. And I've used Snagit for a couple of quick things, but 99% of what I do is through Camtasia. So I think that's most of it on the equipment. As I say in the email, the mic has been perfectly adequate. I'm tempted to try something more expensive just to see if it would work, but I'm not convinced based on the reviews. And for the most part, from what I can tell, no one has said anything about the quality of my sound, and I think it's pretty good. So I've stuck with this one for the last year and a half. And if you're in any doubt, probably better to spend less than spend more, because worst case scenario, you'd have a backup mic you can use somewhere before you worry about spending more money. The only other thing I could think of that can make sound pretty interesting is if you start getting those sound panels like some people do, and it'll, you know, be warmer and a bit fuller. But keep in mind that a lot of these things can become obstacles if you start to overthink it. I remember a period when I was thinking way too much about what I should use, what I shouldn't use, what it would sound like. I found that the solution was just get started, take action, and see what I get back. Much better to be in that mode and experience some trial and error than think it to death and worry about, you know, all kinds of things that in the end turn out to be nothing, you know. I suppose in my case, the scenario is a little different than yours, in that I did from the beginning strive to produce a whole lot of videos, pretty much, not exactly daily, but pretty close to it. And in this respect, there are many models. Some people do it even more frequently. The majority probably do it less frequent. That's something you'll have to figure out as you play with it. And there you're getting more into the dynamics you experience when you are in live format and people are watching your videos, because YouTube gives you a ton of statistics on what is happening with your channel. So you can begin to be more strategic around what you put up, what you don't put up. Because from the perspective of getting a channel to produce results, for the most part, the idea is to get as many views as possible. In fact, one of the things is that their rule is you need to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of people that have watched videos, which at first seems like a big hill to climb. It took me close to a year, not quite, maybe 10 or 11 months. But what I noticed is that this is where momentum is your friend, because once I was reaching that level through lots and lots and lots of daily work, then I noticed that from there to much, much higher levels was a lot easier, because the momentum became my friend. So that, what I mean by that is that I used to get, at the beginning, I would get, I don't know, 40, 50 views if I was lucky on a video. Then I saw it move up as the months were passing, you know, with 2020, that crazy election. And I was getting a couple of hundred views on the good videos. Then it kept moving up. So, but by the time we were in the thick of the late summer, fall of 2020, videos were getting hundreds of views. And so this was driving up my total hours, which I think I reached by November or December. But of course, now if you look at my channel, I easily get 3,000, 4,000 views, sometimes more, 5,000, whatever, per video. And what this does is that it adds tons of hours when I don't need them anymore, because now YouTube is not measuring me in that factor. You know, they're measuring, the way they measure now is once you've reached the magical 1,000 hours or 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 viewable hours, they then allow you to monetize it, which is a process you go through where you have to, go through a few screens and tick off different things. And then what happens is they will actually pay you for the amount that is advertised, which again is based on views. There, the formula is something like, depending on the type of channel you have, because if your channel attracts a certain demographic, you will attract more money per 1,000 views than if your channel is not that interesting, then it's less. And I remember seeing a video explaining this, where this young kid, actually a teenager who knew a lot about this, was saying that if you have something in your channel that is not that interesting, then you'd be lucky to make a dollar or two, if that, per 1,000 views. But then he mentioned if your channel has more magnetism, so to speak, and more people watch, then he said something like $6 per 1,000 is a good target. And when I calculated mine, I remember that I think it was around 9 or 10, so I thought that meant I was on the right track. But this kid said that there are certain subjects, he mentioned technology subjects, health-related subjects, where a person could be, among others, by the way, they were not the only two, a person could be making $30, $40, $50 per 1,000. That becomes pretty serious money. And what I'm noticing is, at the level I'm playing currently, the way I calculate it is that it's about, at the 10,000 subscriber level, you're either at or pretty close to about $1,000 a month in ad money. But for example, Linda Grindel's channel is drawing in easily $6,000-$7,000 a month in advertising money, because the number of views is so much higher. So anyways, there you have it for now. Bottom line, my suggestion is, in terms of first things first, get familiar with YouTube. And in fact, play a little bit. Just do things to see what happens, how it plays back, without worrying so much about the final product at this stage, and then begin to work from there. Because if you do it the other way around, you won't be able to get, in my opinion, the progress might stall, because you might have good videos, but you're not familiar with the upload and how it'll look and so forth, how long it takes too. There are a whole bunch of things that are in play by how long it takes. I mean, you put it in the YouTube upload and it takes a certain amount of time. A lot of these things are like the mechanics of the work you're doing, and they really help you in, gauging how long to do it, when to put it up, things like that. And being really familiar with the YouTube scenario is super helpful. All right, no problem asking me more questions. I'll be happy to contribute whatever I can.